Brahmacharya ashram is meant for sadhu life, for the life of being a saintly person. The life where Krishna conscious principles are really the all in all. Sage Yajnavalkya is saying that Brahmacharya must be executed in under all time, place, and circumstance, and therefore at all times. So it is particularly an ashram meant for spiritual life. The Grihastha ashram as such is different, because the Grihastha ashram is for living in the material world and at the same time practicing spiritual life. That is different. Brahmacharya life is not really to develop a material life. Different brahmacharis are mentioned in the scriptures. Naistiki brahmachari, Upaku brahmachari, or those who stay brahmachari a whole life, and those who just for some time practice brahmacharya. That is one issue in the Brahmacharya ashram, and that is that the back door is open. That option is there, the option to not go on for a lifetime. There is no formal lifetime commitment. And with that, when I say the back door is open, it kind of means that I could, if I wanted to, decide to stop. But of course, in a way that doesn't make sense. Because what else is there but service to Krishna? What else is there to do rather than to just spend all our time in Krishna's service? Not a moment engaging in any other activity. Anyway, so it begins with personal integrity. This personal integrity is the key to success. It's there that the Brahmachari ashram is the backbone. In a spiritual institution, we need a group of renunciants, a group who is going to be different, a group who is going to put spiritual life first, and that commitment remains. As far as how influential we will be in terms of our preaching, let purity be the force. Let us not just cater to the audience. Let us just remain faithful to be dedicated. times in our quality spiritual life. Absorption is what is required. It is said that there are different stages of remembrance. Smaranam, Dharanam, Jnana, and Samadhi. Or it is said that Smaranam is to simply remember externally what have we heard, and to be able to kind of summarize what the subject matter was. Dharana is that we continue to hold on to what we had heard and begin to apply. Jhana is where what we have heard is becoming a meditation, and it becomes a deep absorption until samadhi, which is full absorption. So in this way we are retaining transcendental knowledge to the extent that we are making it our heart and soul, to the extent that we are really really making something of it. The ingredients are not much different. We're seeing that the acharyas were writing about Krishna, about his pastimes, the very same pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam or from Krishna book. And we see that they were just contemplating these things and commenting from different angles. They were not like looking at anything else, but simply Krishna's activities of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are not necessarily meant to be great scholars. Some may be scholarly inclined, but the essence is to simply to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. That is the essence, that is Krishna consciousness. To remember Krishna favorably, anukulyena Krishna nushirana. Remember Krishna favorably, which means to somehow or other think of how to please Krishna. Simply as that. So Brahmacharya Ashram is what brings what is meant to bring spiritual life. Therefore, Brahmacharyas are meant to be spiritual leaders, to bring in a spiritual impulse. And as the brahmacharis mature, some may in due course of time take sannyas and then become specifically the spiritual leaders of society at large. But it is through the brahmacharis that these sannyasis are reaching out to so many people. Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they were Chaktatunamase Samandalapati Sreni Sadhatu Chivat. or living a life of renunciation, a life of throwing off all aristocracy, simply a life with minimal facilities. Krishna Kirtana Gala Nartana Bhau Premam Vitam Bhavidi. They were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental love. Krishna Utkirtan, loudly chanting the name of Krishna. Absorbed in that way. So yeah, this is the purpose of the Brahmacharya Ashram and nothing else. In all practical reality, it may not always be like that. But if it is not like that, then in a way our activities are defeating our purpose. When Rupa and Sanatan would go around Vrindavan, they would associate with many people. One might say they would preach to many people. But their preaching was not an external activity, not an activity from, what are the 10 best ways to convince someone about Krishna consciousness. Their preaching was simply glorifying Krishna and themselves being absorbed in glorifying Krishna and sharing that glorification with others. And then automatically preaching was also going on. In this way, they remained on the cutting edge of worshipping Krishna. And that is a sadhu's business. Sadhu means thoroughly honest. A sadhu is sadhava. Sadhu means he walks the path of the saintly persons. His only act is to worship Krishna. Just like Narada Muni is just constantly traveling and chanting and glorifying Krishna in some way or other. And Krishna's devotees. So yes, this is our Brahmacharya Ashram. It's not that many take to this ashram, and it is not that many are taking full advantage of this ashram, even if externally they take it. Time can be difficult, because with time comes respect, and with respect may come tarangarandhi, enjoying the side benefits of the ashram, and starting to hanker for worship, puja, pratistha, and all this kind of honor and so on. Secretly looking for recognition. These are the pitfalls. And here begins pretending, kutinati. It is a kutinati, means that we become fruitive, like a business mentality. We begin to calculate how can I get my personal advantage. So this is a risk, undoubtedly. So we remain simple. We look again and again for purification. Krishna. We return to the holy dhammas from time to time to pray and look for mercy. We serve the Vaishnavas looking for mercy. But like this, Brahmachari life is meant to represent the central activity of our movement, the substance of being always absorbed. So yeah, this is an ideal and painting, and all of us are living with that ideal, and it's up to us how much of this ideal actually becomes a reality. It's our choice. It's simply our choice. Nothing less. There may be many external activities in a movement, in an institution, in a preaching mission, in a modern time. Such as internet, and such as so many programs, so many people. So all that is needed, but only if to all of these activities we bring spiritual depth from time spent alone with Krishna. Ultimately, there is time spent alone with Krishna, and unless that time alone with Krishna is more substantial than the public time that we spend, unless that private time with Krishna is more substantial, we will gradually become holy. Although simply and the pretense begins. So that private time with Krishna, are digging deep in Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name. Appreciating that Krishna is kind. When Krishna comes to this world, the spiritual world also descends. Therefore, when we are on the altar, we are in the spiritual world. However, because we are not qualified, we are acting according to strict rules and regulation, prescribed duty. So everyone will encounter his limitations. Everyone will encounter personal shortfall. Everyone will encounter some personal lacking. Everyone will encounter frustration and of happiness. It is there where we depend on mercy, when everything is right, then we depend on mercy, because ultimately we are not the doers. We depend on Krishna. We can only be successful in our Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna. That dependence on Krishna's mercy, turning to Krishna, very much turning to Krishna in prayer and begging him for help to somehow or other increase the quality of our service to him. That is required. So, well, with this I have given some pointers, and now it's up to you to come up with some discussion. Let's see what you will say. So any comments, questions?
In the beginning, that when we are preaching, the like purity be the force, and let's not cater to the audience. Can you just elaborate on that point?
So the Prabhupada on many occasions said this, that we should please Krishna and not try to please the audience, but that pleasing Krishna is what is the essence. And pleasing Krishna is more simple and in another way more complicated, but in terms of to simply present the message. Like once Amarendra was a student who used to debate and so on, was asking Prabhupada, what can we say? What can we say to convince them? Simply chant Hare Krishna, speak on Bhagavad Gita. Faithfully representing. We can see that in Srila Prabhupada himself, very carefully, very faithfully representing. So like that. It says, the religion that marries the spirit of the age will be a widow tomorrow. The religion that will marry the spirit of the age will be a widow tomorrow. Scribble, scribble, scribble. Write it down. The religion that will marry the spirit of the age will be a widow tomorrow. Anonymous, we don't know. But it does make sense. Because times change, and if we try to constantly adapt to the changing times, then we change with the times. When the times change, we become irrelevant. So we can see that the acharyas are very timeless. Just same old thing, same old. Guess what we're speaking about? Bhagavad-gita, Śrīmad-bhāgavata. And of course, especially Śrīmad-bhāgavata. Okay, Bhagavad-gita to bring the audience in, but then to go deep in Śrīmad-bhāgavata. Our book is Śrīmad-bhāgavata.
Advantage
means to fully worship Krishna. Ultimately, what does ashram really matter? Ultimately, there are some advantages to the brahmacharya ashram. That's for sure. But at the same time, it's our goal is not to be brahmacharis, to be sannyasis. Our goal is to glorify Krishna. Is to describe the glories of Krishna, right? Is to absorb ourselves in the glories of Krishna and then to speak the glories of Krishna. And that's it. And we may be so busy being brahmacharis that we forget, to glorify, to really glorify Krishna. And then we're not fully taking advantage. So we are free. When babies cry, they don't cry for us. Whoever the baby is crying for, it doesn't mean that any of us has to go. So that's great. Someone else has to go, actually, and is not going. we have no obligation. So that's good. But if we don't use that space and freedom that we got, that we gained for glorification of Krishna, then we miss the purpose. So whatever we have, whatever attribute we have, if we don't use it to glorify Krishna, then what is the point? And we may, maybe we are committing, we are engaging in our sadhana for the sake of maintaining our ashram. Like I'm chanting so that I can maintain my brahmacharya. But that's not, that's the cart before the horse. Wait a minute. We're not chanting to maintain a brahmacharya. No, we're not. We're chanting to glorify Krishna. And the brahmacharya ashram happens to give us time and energy for that. Otherwise, what's the good of anything of renunciation? Okay. Renunciation, yay, we're not entangled. Okay, good. We're not entangled. That's good for us, but unless we fill all that time and energy in glorification of Krishna. So that is the real thing. And then our it's like our Vaisheshika, who was a famous Buddhist literary and so on, likes to speak of the spillover, the spillover of the spiritual activities, and that like the spiritual activities, they must become dense and they must be intensely absorbed in them until they create a spillover. And when that spillover from the spiritual activity enters into the book distribution, then it happens. Then one continues to glorify Krishna also there. So I mentioned a similar thing by saying that the absorption in our hearing, chanting, glorifying Krishna must be greater than our public activities, I say. Otherwise we just become public persons, who just try to then we're catering to the audience and we're nicely playing the role of sadhus, sitting like a sadhu, speaking like a sadhu, looking like a sadhu, appearance, all appearance. That's what will happen if the substance is not there and all we have left is appearance. It doesn't happen by a constant choice, by a conscious choice that we just choose to start acting out the role of a sadhu. It happens automatically when we are not filling it in with substance and glorification. Suddenly it all becomes external. If you look at the acharyas, they all wrote commentaries. And if you read some of the commentaries, you see that they really spent some time, they got into it. They turned over every verse this way, that way. They're really thinking about it. Thinking about Krishna and how it described Krishna. They really gave it serious time and energy. When am I supposed to stop?
Changing what you just
understanding, no, I'm not just finishing these rounds, I'm going to really try and chant. I'm going to worship you. Really have to do, you know what I'm saying? It's not like gonna happen one day, you know. It's not that one day the light will go on and suddenly, oh, Krishna, oh, today tears are coming from my eyes. They will not come that way. We have to try and make a very nice offering to Krishna. That's all we can do. So yes, then it becomes external, okay, that happens, and then we realize that we have become caught up in the in playing the role. So it's like I described. We're just on stage now and just performing the part, you know, of a sadhu, trying to act it out as good as possible. And we can very easily develop a routine like that. Know, over time, become quite good at it, and the public will appreciate it, and we tell ourselves, well, I'm helping many people. But help yourself. We really have to help ourselves to glorify for you. And that means sometimes we need to slow down a little bit. Sometimes we need to activate ourselves a bit. Other questions? Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then you read the Madhya Lila in the beginning, and then Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that you can read all these books, and he gives a whole list of books, all of Goswami literature. And he says there that you can read these books, so now what to do? I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, I came upon other books. Then I came. So, how to understand this? Our reading is, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Even when I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it's an expansion in Srimad Bhagavatam. And maybe there are books that help us penetrate a little more into Bhagavatam. So we may read that also, but ultimately we read these main books. If, for example, you read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read about the incarnations of the Lord. Right? Sometimes it's a little bit unclear. Then when you read Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita, with Baladev's commentary, then you suddenly get like just that little bit more information about the various avatars. And suddenly some questions that were always there are now answered. Like, for example, what happens in those Kali Yugas that Lord Chaitanya does not appear? What happens in them? Who is the incarnation? Is then there also an incarnation of the Lord? Or no incarnation? What about that question? It's just one of those questions. And then there it is said, yes, there is an incarnation of the Lord. He has a blackish complexion. And he also teaches some sort of chanting of the holy name. And yet, it's not the same. Because the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is not there. That mercy of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna himself. Namo Mahavamyani Krishna Kriyabhadayate Krishna Chaitanya Krishna. Who gives the topmost very easily to the most fallen. That they cannot give. So there is some sort of chanting, but it doesn't produce the same result. So all that is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's like suddenly it's crystal clear. And it's just a purport to same Chaitanya Charitamrita, same Bhagavata. But now we understand it a little better. We're actually reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're actually reading the Bhagavatam, these two books, synonymous. So sometimes, some other book, the major books, we are reading for that sake. We're reading the Pramaya Ratnavali. And it's not just some entertainment. It is actually the book that gives us the philosophical connection with the Madhva Sampradaya. Bhavadev actually is giving there a philosophical connection. That's very important. Historical connection we can trace back Madhva Napuri, da da da. But now, what about a philosophical connection? There it is, Pramaya Ratnavali. Looks like something we should read. So there are many books that are like that help us to understand better these main literatures. The Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, Nectar of the Lotus, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So those we read. But our principal reading is in these many books. That we read again and again. We all read in that context. Like the first chapter of the Antya Lila of the CC describes, there is a discussion, Ramananda Rai, Sarup Damodar, there's a discussion about the play of Rupa Goswami, Vidakta Madhava. So then, maybe if we read Vidakta Madhava, we'll understand a little bit more about Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like that, we expand from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we're not reading for the sake of reading. Thank you. Sir, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.